Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, I want to talk in a way that I don't normally on television. I want to talk almost as if I'm doing a workshop. I want to talk about how we disciple people and how we are discipled ourselves, because there are some of us, we're going to have people in our lives who can help us in our discipleship. We're going to have some people, some of us are not going to have people who necessarily can help us. So how do we live like that? That's what I'm going to talk about today. I pray it's very useful to you. So go get your family, get your friends, get anybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I pray today blesses you. Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer.
Well, what is a disciple? Jesus, we read in the scriptures, when he was leaving to go to the Father and was ascending, he gathered all of the disciples, the apostles together, and he says, go therefore and make disciples. He doesn't say go therefore and build buildings. He doesn't say go set up programs. He doesn't say go out there and make and have the best lighting, the best sound, the best all sorts of different things. He says, no. He says, go out and make disciples. Now, the concept disciples comes of discipleship comes from a word meaning to be a learner, from the word Matthias, which means to be a learner. And a learner was someone who learns from someone else. Now, when I was younger, I heard some great talks on discipleship. And one of the things that people would often talk about is they would talk about go and find someone to be your discipler. I remember being in this Catholic young people's group and they used to talk about having a discipler. And a discipler was someone who would help you to become and to learn to be like Jesus, that you would be transformed. Now, discipleship in its most fundamental basic way is an invitation into a relationship, and it's a challenge to change, because as you become more involved in a relationship with Jesus, what often happens is that you see your light in the light of who Jesus is, and we can be tremendously challenged to change in our life. But that's the function also of a discipler in our life. A discipler, someone who is forming us. Now, this is a little different to mentoring. A mentor, many of us in business, I know in business understanding the financial world of running businesses, I know I've had mentors who come along beside me and teach me a whole variety of things. But discipleship and mentoring, whilst there are similarities, they're very different. I'm not trying to become like the mentor who's teaching in his personal life, in his relationship life. I'm not trying to, the person teaching me business, I'm not trying to become like them. I might want to learn what they know about business. But what I'm trying to do when I'm being discipled is I'm trying to become like Jesus. And so if I have a discipler, in a sense, I'm trying to become like the person who's discipling me. St. Paul said, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be like Jesus, be like me. What St. Paul did was he held his life up and he said, just be like me because I'm like Christ, which is very different than someone who's just trying to mentor me in terms of business or in some skill that I'm trying to develop in my life. And so in our lives, sometimes we can find disciplers, people who hold themselves up and hold their life up and say, be like my life. And in the same way, a discipler puts out a challenge to us. It's an invitation into relationship, and then it's a challenge to change. An invitation to a relationship and a challenge to change. Many years ago, when I was only 19 years old, I had a young fellow who was about 4 years older than me. His name was Greg. He was a really wonderful fellow. He was someone that was very much in his own personal faith life and his spiritual journey. He was trying to live like Christ. And I remember in the group that I was involved in, this group, they were became very serious around this whole idea and this whole concept of discipleship. And I remember the group saying to me, do you want someone to be your discipler? And I remember going, yeah, I had no idea really what I was lining up for. And I got allocated this guy named Greg and had to see whether the relationship would work or not. Well, Greg and I would go to Greg's house and Greg lived with his parents, but he lived in a room out the back. Not attached to the house, but that was his room in the house where he lived with his mum and dad. And I remember I used to go there on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and Greg and I would talk for about an hour and a half. And the whole idea was, can we help you to be like Christ? And Greg in his own life, you know, a young man that was only a few years older than me, would hold up his own life as something for me to copy. And he invited me into this relationship where he would share his life, share the things he was going through, share his dreams and his hopes, share the challenges in his life. And then as he invited me into this relationship and about how he was dealing with these in light of his personal faith, he invited me into this relationship. He then challenged me to change. And there are a number of things that I say in my life where I go, I don't know if I'd be here today if that didn't happen. I'm really not sure if I'd be here today if it wasn't for Greg. Greg, for a number of years, every Sunday, we'd meet at 1 o'clock. And as we shared life together, two young men, only four or five years apart, and as he shared his life with me, he invited me into this relationship. And then that relationship, he challenged me in that to change. So as I became more comfortable, as I began to share my life, as I began to share the things that I was wrestling with in my life, and he revealed his life more to me, and we reflected on the scriptures and the teaching of the church, I found myself being changed. It was a time in my life where I learned to pray more deeply. It was a time in my life where I learned where to read the scriptures more deeply. It was a time in my life where I learned to keep a prayer journal more diligently. It was certainly a time in my life where I learned the ability of personal reflection spiritually in order that I would be transformed. So discipleship is an invitation into a relationship. Now, what happens if you don't have someone in your life like that? What happens if you can't find someone like that? To walk in your life? And the truth is, at various times in our lives, it can be hard to find people like that. Well, then we can, in a sense, we can go directly to Jesus ourselves. And as we keep asking ourselves this question, in light of who Jesus is, what would Jesus do? Now, I know you can go and get all those bands and there are T-shirts that say, what would Jesus do? And there are some people who ridicule that whole approach. What would Jesus do? How do we really know what Jesus would do? And you can take it to all those extremes if you will. But if you just ask that question with what I'm facing at this point in my life, what would Jesus do? It's remarkable. It's remarkable how you find yourself invited into the life of Jesus and how you find yourself being challenged to change. in your life. And so you can do that by yourself, or you can do it with someone else. Now, if you do find someone to disciple, or you feel yourself that you're someone who could disciple someone else, the interesting thing about the nature of the relationship with discipleship is you can't force yourself upon anybody else. I know of someone not too long ago who walked around saying, listen, I'm prepared to disciple you, I'm prepared to mentor you, I'm prepared to do it, and ask people in most inappropriate ways, older than themselves, younger than themselves, I'm ready, and put themselves out there. And the reality is I don't know that anybody took the person up, because it just seems so, well, it just seems so forced and so just not natural, and it seemed to lack tremendous humility. So if you do find yourself in a relationship with someone, and you do find yourself getting into that place of discipleship, your job is to create a culture, to create an atmosphere that's very much focused upon the person that you're trying to mentor, to disciple. When I used to go and see Greg, it was all about us as the two of us, but it was very much about me coming to him and him working with me to develop this relationship with Jesus. So if I turned up and he asked me the question, so how did your prayer go this week? How did you pray this week at all? The next week he'd ask me again, and he'd remember what I said the previous week, and then he'd ask me if I'd advanced, if what was actually the things that I was praying about, what were the things that were important to me. And as I shared those things about the daily things that were happening in my life and about Jesus in the midst of those things, what I found so tremendously electrifying is it was about me, and then he shared his life, his experience, his reflections in light of what I was talking about. So it was actually always about where I was, and he was helping me grow. He was helping me grow. I understand why people want to be disciples. I understand why people force themselves into that sort of place, because there is something exhilarating about being able to give. There is something exhilarating about being able to give yourself away, to give in that way. But it has to be done in humility, and it has to. And it's not about you. Someone who has discipled me over the years, and to this day I still will call when I have things that I want to discuss and share about. Only in the last week or two I called, was the priest who prayed for me 40 years ago when I began my Christian journey. Was the priest who invited me into a relationship with Jesus. Well, a priest who spent a lot of time with me. A lot of time with me, sharing faith with me when I was just a very young lad, and then through my life. And to this day, he's a very elderly, retired man now. But if I ring him up, he's got time for me. And the whole conversation, even to this day, if I call him up 40-something years on, will be about my relationship with Jesus. And then he'll reflect on his relationship with Jesus and how that will help me. And so it's the creation of an atmosphere that's other-focused, an atmosphere that is other-focused. Now, where we're living in the world today, we're living at a time in history where it's almost every other day we hear in the church of a scandal. Just today, I read in the news today of a scandal of some 500 young people who've just been abused in the church and by a group of people in the church in another country. And I was only at lunch today with someone, just before lunch today with someone, and someone said to me, what do? You're that church guy, aren't you? You work in the Catholic Church, aren't you? And I was sitting in a restaurant today and I said, yeah, I am. And then they said, well, you know, that your church of yours, this person wasn't a Catholic, they said, that church of yours. And they said, did you just hear about this one? And then talked about another place in another country where there was another scandal taking place. And it's almost like you feel you can't defend it. You can't stop and go. And you kind of feel stumped, to be honest with you. If you're me, sometimes you feel stumped for words. And you just recognize the weakness in it all. And And so what's going to transform our world is the fact that when there are Catholic people, Christian people, who have an intimate relationship with Jesus and have been challenged to change, that the gospel's going to be challenged to, the gospel's going to be proclaimed by lives that have met Jesus and have been challenged by Jesus. And so that discipler has to create an environment when we go where it's about us moving deeper and deeper and deeper with God. See, when I go to church on Sunday, I can listen to the sermon. And I can take it in. But unless I'm in a relationship with someone or unless I'm prepared to do the reflection work, I don't have to be challenged by what the message is. I can go to church on Sunday and I can hear a talk on forgiveness. But the reality is, if someone doesn't come along and talk with me, a disciple, share with me and ask me the question, am I forgiving in my life? Have you noticed that you can just brush over that stuff? I can go to church and I can hear a million sermons, but it's only when someone comes along and says, so from what you heard from the message on Sunday, the sermon on Sunday, you know, what are you doing about this? In the Catholic Eye Impact community, we have what we call impact groups. And our impact groups are small groups of people that are about discipling one another, about calling people into relationship, a relationship with Jesus, and then challenging those people to change as they live their everyday life. Now, you can listen to what we call the talk, the message, you know, the sermon you hear on Sunday, whatever you'd like to call it. And the reality is, if our impact groups, if our small groups don't ask the question, so because of what you heard, what are you going to do about it? Most of the time you can just listen, go home and do nothing about it at all. And that's why it's central to our way of life. It's central to our way of life that we reflect upon that which we hear and we ask the question, what does it mean for me? Otherwise, all we're doing is we're listening to people with words. We need in our lives people to hold us accountable, people to hold us accountable. Small groups can be places, small groups, small communities of people, friends that we share with can be excellent places of warmth and comfort. I know some small groups that get together and they have wonderful food and they have great coffee and tea and hospitality and it's warm, but they're not discipling environments, are they? No, what they are is a group of friends getting together, having a good time, but they're not growing in discipleship. Discipleship is about an invitation to a relationship of intimacy that causes us to change. And unless we ask the question of each other, it isn't necessarily something that we will grow in. Putting it simply, building a culture of discipleship is the only way to produce the kind of community that Jesus and the New Testament speak about. Well, let me say that again. Put simply, building a culture of discipleship, becoming like Jesus, is the only way to produce the kind of Christian community we read about, that Jesus was about, and we see in the scriptures. Discipleship is the key. Attendance is not the key. Now, there's three ways we learn. There's three ways most people learn. We learn, firstly, through the classroom. We learn in lectures. You know, right now, people are learning stuff. Hopefully, please God. And we're all used to this kind of learning. We're used to the learning of someone standing up the front, of someone passing out information. We're used to the kind of learning that's also similar to that, that comes from study, from reading books, watching documentaries. We learn. There's another kind of learning, isn't there? There's the learning which we call apprenticeship. An apprenticeship is working with someone more skilled, more experienced than us, and watching them do it. For example, I just recently had some serious surgery in my life. I had recent surgery, and for half a day I was on an operating table and they were operating on me. And I'm really pleased that the surgeon that operated on me didn't come along and he didn't say, well, I attended a few lectures and I read a book on it. And then he got the knife out and did what he had to do. I'm pleased that for years part of his training is to be apprenticed by someone more experienced and a guide that comes along and then at some point comes along and say, well, you do watch me. Watch me, watch me, watch me. Now let me watch you. Now you can do it by yourself. Because that's the other way we learn, isn't it? Is by apprenticing. And then the third way we learn is through what we might call immersion, right? Immersion. And immersion is when you're completely and absolutely dipped into it. I travel a fair bit to other cultures, to other places. And it doesn't matter. For example, I go to the United States, spent a lot of time in the United States. Half my life is spent in the United States. And I'm an Australian. And I spent half my life there. And Australians and Americans are not the same. We look the same. We think our cultures are the same. But the truth is there's a lot that's different about us. And so what I've discovered about being there over so many years now, in all the time I've been there, I have come to love Americans because I've spent so much time with Americans. And even though the language is different and the meaning of words is different, and we have those same words that mean completely different things, but it's the feel. It's the heart. It's that you learn it by being immersed in it every day. And you walk into the shops and you ask for something and you find that something means completely something else. I got into a car recently it was a little cool where I was in the part of the United States where I was, and I hopped in the back seat of the car and there was a priest and a nun in the front. And I said to them, listen, could you wait? I want to run back in and I want to grab my jumper. And as I said to them, I want to grab my jumper, I remember both of them turned around and looked at me. And I saw their faces and I go, I don't know what that meant. And I ran in and I came out with my jumper, which is in America, they call a sweater. And I remember both of them looked at me and went, oh. And I said, what's wrong? And they said, oh, well, in some parts of America, a jumper is a woman's dress. And certainly I wouldn't look good in that. There's these different understandings, these different meanings to terms. But there's also the different feelings. And so the way that you actually become, the way that I've become more American in my life is by being immersed in it every day for long periods of time. And so I become immersed. I've got to live it. You hear people who go to foreign countries who are learning foreign languages. They can do all of the book learning. They can do all of the listening and coaching and all of that type of stuff. And then you'll hear so many of them say, but when I really learnt the language was when I went to that country and I lived there and I had to speak it every day.
Want to see the full episode online? Go to BruceDownsTheCatholicGuy.com.
The church I see is a place where people know the love of God, our Father. And everyone who wants to know that love can find it. It's a place where people know that God sees them, accepts them just as they are, and helps them to be a better version of who they can be. That's the church I see. I'd invite you to join me in Sydney this October for the Heart Women's Conference. I heard it once said that if you educate a boy, you educate a man, but if you educate a girl, you educate an entire family. In my life, I've been surrounded by significant, powerful, sensitive, and strong women who've helped shape my life, starting with my mother, who gave her everything for my four brothers and I. Nothing was too much. I've worked with amazing women of wisdom who are leaders, organizers, and carers in the greater society. Rosemary, my wife, who leads the Heart Women's Conference, loves God with a passion and has a vision to see women be encouraged, strengthened, refreshed, and built up. Come and laugh, maybe even cry a little, and be filled with the power of God over 3 days. You'll not be disappointed. It could well be the best thing you do in 2017. Ladies, catch a plane, catch a bus, drive a car, and allow Rosemary and the team to spoil you at Heart 2017. You won't be disappointed.
Whatever type of woman you are, we all enjoy time away from our everyday lives. Come and join other women as we refresh our minds, our bodies, our souls, and our hearts. You will be empowered to live a bold, blessed, and faith-filled life as the beautiful woman you are. To register for the Heart Women's Conference 2017, go to heart.thecatholicguy.com today.
All of us in our lives have needs, don't we? There's none of us that don't. There are people who are in our lives, our loved ones and our friends who have needs. We'll go home today. So many of us will walk right into those needs. Well, the Bible tells us that we should come to God and we should gather people to pray for those needs. Well, I'd love to join you in praying for your needs. Why don't you write to me on the addresses on the screen, and I and my prayer team, the people who pray for me, will join with you in asking God to be amazing. Just of late, I've received some mail from people who have written to us and have had prayers answered, some in beautiful ways. Some of them, their prayers continued to be offered up to God, but they are being transformed in the action of praying. Why don't you write to me on the addresses on your screen? Now, if you didn't go to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can right now, I want you to know that you are being invited by God into a relationship, a personal relationship. Not a distant relationship, not a head knowledge relationship, but a personal relationship. And if you ask Jesus to come, if you read the scriptures and you ask those three questions, what do I see, what do I think it means, and what am I going to do about it, you'd discover Jesus in a far more powerful way. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au.